Reading from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 4, verse 7, and we're looking about how we are adopted as sons. Verse 23. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
So we're continuing to look at Romans this morning, and I'm just picking up on something that Stephen spoke about last week as well, because he covered the verses 1 to 17 in Romans chapter 8. But I want to spend a little bit of time looking from verse 14 to 17 at the theme of adoption. So we read there, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Sorry, I'm not quite there. Verse 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." J.I. Packer, who passed away this year, in fact, he passed away last month, wrote this in his book, Knowing God. What is a Christian? The answer can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one that has God for his Father. So that is what we really want to explore here today as we look at this passage of Scripture. Our relationship with God as a child to the Father, that we are adopted into the family of God and that we now have God as our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. The truth is, biblically speaking, that not everyone can actually describe themselves as a child of God. To be a child of God means that you have to be adopted into his family. We like to talk about the universal brotherhood of men, but theologically speaking, scripturally speaking, to be a child of God is to be adopted into his family through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to share a number of verses that just bring this truth to us. Galatians 3, which Ben read out to us earlier. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. John 14, Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John chapter 1, we read, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Just wanted to go back now to what J.I. Packer said, you know, who is a Christian? What is a Christian? And the answer is that a Christian is someone that recognizes God as their Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought to myself, that's quite a test, isn't it? Just at this point alone, if you're talking to someone and they say, "I believe in God," and if you were to say to that person, "Oh, do you know God as your Father?" That would bring a whole lot of new conversation, wouldn't it? Just to bring home the point that to be a child of God recognizes that God himself is your Father, that you have been adopted and part of his family. So, so important. So I want us to get us thinking about belonging, being part of the family of God. And to do so, we really need to know the role of the Holy Spirit in all of this. In verse 14, we read this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." And so the Holy Spirit is the instigator. He's behind our adoption into the family of God. He is the one that warms our hearts to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about, bring you back to the beginning of John's gospel, John chapter 3, where Jesus talks about being born again and he meets this man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler and he comes to Jesus in the night. And he has a few questions for Jesus, but before he can even get the first question out, Jesus says this to him, "Very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Obviously, Nicodemus's question was to do with the kingdom of God. It was to do with, how do you inherit the kingdom of God? How do you receive the kingdom of God? How do you know you really belong in the kingdom of God? And then Jesus straight up says to him, unless you're born again, you cannot see, belong to the kingdom of God. And they had this whole dialogue about that. And I'm just picking up on this, and it will be on your screens. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." What Jesus is making clear here is that to be a child of God is a matter of spiritual rebirth. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? What does the Holy Spirit do in the lives of someone who is coming to faith? He warms our hearts to the gospel. He reveals our sin. He reveals our need for a Saviour. He points us to Jesus. And when we hear the good news, we just know that this is for us, that this is true, and that we need a relationship with God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. The work of the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit not only brings us to faith, warms our heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit testifies, witnesses to our spirits, our inner being, our souls, if you like, that we are indeed children of God. Paul makes that so clear in the passage that we are looking at today. The overall theme of Romans 8 is about assurance, knowing that you are a child of God. So very, very important for all of us to understand. Michael, in his prayer earlier on in the service, talked about the fact that sometimes we do not do the things that we want to do. Sometimes the things we don't want to do, that's what we keep on doing. That's all in Romans 7, and we have this spiritual conflict going on in our lives. But brothers and sisters, it isn't as if we are in God's family and then out of God's family. Through faith in Jesus, we are a part of God's family, even though at times we do the things we don't want to do. And the things that we really want to do, we don't do those either. And I don't know if I said that right either, but you know what I mean. We're not perfect. We're inconsistent. And yet we're part of God's family. What a wonderful blessing that is. Human relationships, and I think you'd agree with this, are often fragile. Sometimes when you gather with friends, you might feel like you're walking on eggshells. The relationship is vulnerable. Sometimes you feel like you're in, sometimes you feel like you're out. Sadly, sometimes it's like that in marriages. And it certainly can be like that in families where you feel you belong and then you don't belong in it. And it's up and down. It's disappointing. Friends, family, marriages. Relationships so often are unstable, fragile. But that's not how God wants us to live our lives. God wants us to know that we are loved, that we are secure. He wants us to know that assurance of salvation, that God continues to love us despite the fact that we so often fail to do his will. But he still loves us. He still cares for us. He's not turfing us out of the family. He's not getting rid of us. He's not returning us to the orphanage. God loves us, and he's consistent in that love. And Paul drives that point home in this passage for us. I read this little parable a long time ago, and I'm going to read it to you now. Imagine yourself a child, an orphan. In silent moments, you long to have known your mother and father and wonder what they were like. You yearn to have loved them and be loved by them. Although you are well cared for, you don't feel that you belong. You are rootless. One day, when feeling down, you stand watching a father and son playing together. They are laughing and enjoying not just the game but each other. The love, the energy, the fun make you all the more melancholic, sad. You ache for a father like that father, and envy the son his place in the friendship of such warmth and affection. Here for the world to see is simple giving and receiving. While watching at a distance, you wish secretly that you could join the game and so be caught up in the father's and the son's friendship. Quite suddenly, and to your surprise, the son turns to you and makes to throw the ball towards you. How do you react? Do you turn away in embarrassment? Do you reach out and catch the ball? The gospel story is about God the Father and God the Son drawing the world into their love. The Father delights in the Son. The Son delights in his Father. The love between them stands at the center of the universe. The Father and the Son work by the Spirit to draw us orphaned onlookers into their love. I think you'd know why I like that story. It appeals to us. It's warm. In the old days, our children were at the orphanages. And a prospective mum and dad would come to the orphanage, look over the children. Perhaps the children would come in one at a time and they'd read a little biography about them or hear a biography of them. And then they'd make their choice. And the child would follow them to the car or whatever transport they had, and they'd take that child home. Papers were signed. This child is now your child, has a new surname, belongs to the family, belongs to you. And what you actually hope for, I imagine, as an adoptive parent, is that what has been made official on a piece of paper would actually, in fact, become a reality. That a real warm bond of affection would develop between that child and yourself. I think that is, of course, the hope in going there to an orphanage, to adopt that child into your family. Not just mum and dad on a piece of paper, but truly in the child's heart. And that you, in turn, would have an affection for the child. So this is what Paul is drawing on here when he introduces us to the word Abba. Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word, Father, because it's in the New Testament, is written in Greek. But there's a richness to the Aramaic word Abba. There's a warmth there. There is intimacy there. There is affection in that term, in that word. C.F. Moule writes this about the word, and I like this, addressing our Heavenly Father with exceptional intimacy, Jesus does not, however, take advantage of the familiarity. He uses the Abba address to offer God his complete obedience. The intimate word conveys not a casual sort of familiarity, but the deepest and most trustful reverence. Affection, yes, not just familiarity, but deep affection and a desire to obey. I really like the word Abba, Father, but at times I don't always feel so close to God. And perhaps you struggle with that as well. Every half a year or so, I get a letter from my compassion child. And I've had him for quite, as a child, that I sponsor for quite a number of years. But our relationship isn't all that great. It's not bad, it's just really not much at all. Every month, my money is taken out of my account and goes to support that child. Every so often I receive a letter which tells me what he's doing at church and how his soccer's going and how his grades at school are. And I in turn will write him some stuff as well. Sometimes I ask personal questions or let him know about my own life and what's happening in my family, but it feels like he never actually reads what I send. You might have a different situation with your sponsored child. I'm just saying this is our situation. So sometimes we pray for him. Sometimes we receive a letter. Sometimes Compassion asks me to send some extra money so they can buy him a Christmas gift. We do those things. But for me, it's really at a distance. And I was just thinking about that with the sermon, or with this text, really. But sometimes our relationship with God is at that kind of level. It's not really Abba Father. It doesn't have that warmth, that intimacy. It's more like we have obligations. We come to church. We might go to Bible study. We pray now and then. We think about God on the odd occasion. We pray especially when we need some help. But it's kind of at a level that's not, does not have that warmth and intimacy that Paul is reflecting on here, that the Holy Spirit is just impressing on our souls, our own spirits, that God is our Heavenly Father and all the richness of that relationship. I want you to think now just for a moment about the parable of the prodigal son. I think this illustrates the point pretty well. We know in the parable of the prodigal son that there are two sons. The first son is, he totally disregards his father, then he ends up squandering his money and ends up in the pigsties of life, where he wakes up to himself and he comes back running to his father, and the father greets him and there's a big party of welcome for the son who was lost that has now returned. I'm not thinking of that son, really. I'm thinking about the older brother now. The older brother has no affection for the father. The older brother sees himself more as a slave than a son. He accuses the father of never having given him even the smallest amount of food so that he could celebrate with his friends. We read this. The older son says to the father in that parable in Luke 15, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeying your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. In the story, in that parable, do we see ourselves as the younger son or the oldest son? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Is it intimate? Is it warm? Is it loving? This is what God offers us as his people. Jesus, speaking in John's Gospel, says this, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a slave belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So I want to say to you this morning that your relationship with God as Father need not be distant. God has already been committed to you by sending his one and only Son into the world to be your Saviour and Lord. Greater love has no one than to offer his life for his friends. This is the most wonderful gift that you and I have. But brothers and sisters, there is this warmth to it that we as God's children can have. Our relationship doesn't need to be distant. There should never be in our mind a fear of rejection, a fear that God will throw us out of his household. Paul's already acknowledged that sometimes we do the things that we don't want to do, and the things that we do want to do, we don't do. We're inconsistent, and yet God's love is always consistent towards us. You should never think that God would deny us the salvation that we have in Christ. You should never think that you'd be alone, but God is always with you. Jesus said to his disciples, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. These are wonderful words of assurance for us. There's a wonderful invitation here, isn't there, to draw near to God and receive the blessing of being his child. Well, the last thing I want to say really picks up what Paul says towards the end of this passage. He says that we are heirs with Christ. So what do we inherit as one of God's children? I've just written down three things. We inherit a room in a mansion. We get a room in a heavenly mansion. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. John 14. Paul says that we will rule with Christ. But we know that when he appears, if we endure, we will also reign with him. We also know that we will inherit the likeness of Christ. We'll take on more of Christ's characteristics. Again, John writes, but we know when he appears, we will be like him. But the most important blessing of being a Christian is that we inherit God himself. The psalmist said, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God himself as Father is the greatest gift that you and I can ever receive. So do you know yourself to be a child of God? Do you know God as Abba, Father? Do you know that you've been adopted into the family through the blood of Christ, who died on the cross for your sins? Do you know that? Does it warm your heart? I just want to go back to the parable before I conclude the sermon with an amen. That was the parable that, the fictional parable that I mentioned earlier. Quite suddenly, and to your surprise, the son turns to you and makes to throw the ball, to draw you into the game. You feel embarrassed that they could read your need and your longing. How do you react? Do you turn away in embarrassment? Do you reach out and catch the ball? The gospel story is about God the Father and God the Son drawing the world into their love. The Father delights in his Son. The Son delights in his Father. The love between them stands at the center of the universe. The Father and Son work by the Holy Spirit to draw us orphaned onlookers into their love. Amen.